We work hand in hand with our partners. They're the ones who help lead the charge in change management with our customers. They're also the ones who understand the processes, especially when they've been at the customer site longer than us. You know, we work together with our partners to make technology beyond just an enabler.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and we are on episode 4 of our Industry 4 for Fridays. And with me today, I have my two guests, Pavneet and Vanessa. Vanessa, would you like to go first, introduce yourself, and then Pavneet?
Wonderful. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. So I'm Vanessa Molina, and I'm the Global Channel Lead for Industry 4.0 for SAP and SAP Team Centers by Siemens.
And hi, everyone. My name is Pavneet. I'm based in Singapore. I'm also part of the Industry 4.0 channels team and work alongside Vanessa.
Tremendous, tremendous. And the kind of theme for today's podcast around Industry 4.0 is, you know, that Industry 4 is kind of like a formula for a resilient future, but only if it extends beyond the factory. Vanessa, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Why do you think these things need to happen? Why is it important for Industry 4.0 to extend beyond the factory?
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Industry 4.0 is a term that can mean a whole lot of things. It's a journey of incorporating the latest tech into manufacturing. You want to increase productivity, reducing costs, you know, increasing output. But I argue that it's so much more than that. You know, for it to live up to this agile and resilience promise, I think it has to go beyond the four walls of manufacturing, because ultimately it's about bidirectional data, right? It's really about breaking down the silos and having digitally driven processes. So if you look at the research that's been provided by, you know, management consulting companies or analysts, they all speak of this resiliency and agility and the need to be closer to your customers at the end of the year, at the end of the day, for you to thrive for years to come. But at the heart is still data. You know, this data has traditionally been siloed, and it hinders better collaboration between the functions of the business, operations, and more importantly, decision making. So to me, if you want it to live up to that resilient promise, those solutions have to go beyond the plant. They have to reach across the value chain. They have to go end to end, where data is collected in a form that's useful across systems, organizations, silos. But more importantly, it has to be available in a very timely manner.
And can you give me kind of a practical example of what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you a personal one. So my house is currently under construction, and I live in Miami, so we're putting hurricane impact windows and doors up. But because it's a very odd shaped window that I have, I wanted to have plantation shutters put in front of it as a way of giving me privacy. So I shopped around and I found a vendor, and this, you know, I went to one of the big box stores, and they sent a vendor out to my house, and the person showed up, and he just had a tablet and a briefcase. I mean, it was very simple. I got little chips of colors and materials and whatnot. He took a picture of it right then and there. He placed an order for me, and off he went. I got an email within an hour confirming my order, confirming my delivery date, letting me know who my installer was. And since it's a lot size of one custom order, I knew the lead time was going to be a couple of weeks. So planning for when I was going to be home was important for me. And I got an email a couple weeks later letting me know that the supplier to the manufacturer was running behind. And I instantly called customer service. I called customer service because I didn't know when I was going to be home. And how, you know, do I need to notify the installers? How does this work? But lo and behold, the minute I called, customer service knew the delay. They knew the vendor. They had already let me know, you know, the window of time that the person who came to do the estimate to my house had given them. It was all in the system. I didn't have to give them any more information whatsoever. They gave me a new date. They told me, you know, it would be there 2 days or 3 days later than anticipated, within the same window of time, notified the installer of everything. And it was seamless. Like, I didn't have to go out of my way. But more importantly, they got a customer for life. It showed up on time. I didn't have to go out of my way. I didn't have to chase anyone. And that's kind of unheard of in building construction nowadays, but that's what happens when there's no silos, when everything is talking to each other. This was a customer service rep. She knew everything from the supplier to the manufacturing delays to the installers that were third parties.
It's kind of the dream, isn't it?
It is. I don't know very many people who have had that experience. Normally, you're hunting down the supplier or hunting down the manufacturer. But in my case, they really do have a customer for life. I did one window and instantly I thought, I should probably do all the windows in the house. So they definitely won me over with that.
Yeah, because this last 12, 14, 16 months, whatever it's been, whatever geography you're in, we've all, you know, spent a lot more time alone, not alone, well, some in some cases alone, I meant to say at home. And of course, that has led to a boom in a lot of DIY projects. And I'm not averse to that. I've had several here as well, and I've had no such experience. You know, it's been, to your point, very much ringing up, trying to figure out, when is this person going to come and make this repair? Will they show up? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're a couple of hours late, and it's like, oh, pulling out my hair. So, you know, to hear that experience, hopefully that becomes a more widespread experience for people in the not too distant future.
Yes, I would agree.
Pavneet, talk a little bit about the ways to make this happen, because it's all about capturing and sharing data, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the example that Vanessa gave had, the systems, the people inputting and generating data at every point in time, and then putting that data together in the customer's hands and the other stakeholders like the supplier, the installer, was, I think, the secret sauce. And I also envy Vanessa for such an amazing experience that she has had. So, I mean, in my personal opinion, the data is this key fabric, and it has to go, you know, back and forth between, let's say, for instance, the manufacturing systems to the design systems, that in design could be improved. And also when there's usage data coming from the field, you could also pluck it into manufacturing as well as design to improve those processes as well. So, by having this two-way street with data sharing, I think we can achieve those kind of, balance between customer preferences and a high quality and reliable product that you get at the end.
Okay, and how far along that journey are we? Because, I mean, as I mentioned, I've had several DIY projects happen here at home, and, you know, it's been a nightmare. Yeah. I haven't had anything like Vanessa's experience. So, you know, yeah, how far along that journey are we?
Yeah, I think this is a complex journey for many, many of our customers as well, because they need to connect all these people and the systems and then kind of weave it all together in a digital sort of way. So I think it's been a journey for them. But we are seeing an uptake with, you know, whenever I have conversations with my partners, I do hear a lot of stories where they are, clients are looking, especially like, for example, I can remember MedTech devices. There's a lot of work happening in that area where people are looking at world-class product design and doing an end-to-end sort of study to see where the bottlenecks and how they can improve it. So it's definitely a journey, and for our customers and for we are there along with our partners to help them on this.
Okay, and in the prep call for today's talk, you mentioned the COVID-19 relief effort that you're involved with. Do you want to speak a little bit about that as well?
Yes, Tom. It's a topic very close to my heart because while I'm sitting here in Singapore, where the cases are pretty reasonable, I would say, there are the countries like India, and now the next wave is happening in Nepal, are pretty badly hit. So, what a couple of us thought of a simple idea to make a difference and purchase a couple of oxygen concentrators from various sources in Asia and then ship them over to India. It sounds pretty simple. And I think the important part of this cause was that we wanted to reach the poor communities that actually needed the most. right? Now, there came the complex supply chain problem because there could be theft on the way. So tracking became really important. There could be a breakdown once it's in use. And if there's no warranty or support provided, then these products wouldn't be of any use. And now oxygen concentrators, in my opinion, has become this life-saving commodity in the last few months. And probably its own manufacturers like Philips or UL in China would have never thought that this product would be used so heavily and would be considered such life-saving. So just imagine if there is data that we are able to collect at every stage, for instance, as and when it's going through ports, as and when it's reaching the each destination, if we are able to collect that, that helps with the tracking. And then the usage data could really help improve the design to say, look, earlier you were expecting your concentrator to just handle maybe mild cases. Now we have people who are almost going to die if they don't use this this device. So that kind of feedback would be absolutely valuable for the device manufacturers. And that's what I was trying to kind of say with data going back and forth. It was really important in this effort, and it taught us a lot of things as well around this area.
Yeah, impressive. Vanessa, can you talk a little bit about why you think SAP is kind of uniquely positioned in Industry 4.0 and, you know, the end-to-end technologies?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when you look at the fact that, you know, we have amazing manufacturing execution systems, our digital manufacturing cloud and the insights, when you look at the fact that we touch just in digital supply chain alone, we span from design all the way to operate. So whether it's, you know, intelligent products or improving the products that you're putting out or embedding them with intelligence, you know, we have our logistics business networks when it comes to delivering those products and getting them out, the, you know, DMC when it comes to the actual manufacturing of it or making it. And then everything around, you know, assets for asset intensive industries when it comes to operating that. So we have a full stack that ranges from design all the way to operate. But then on top of that, it feeds back into your ERP system so that, you know, you're all having one synchronized layer of data. And then if you marry that with, you know, Ariba and our the networks that we have and you know, the business networks on top of that, you realize that the ability really to unleash all that data from an end-to-end perspective is already there. And then, you know, our ecosystem is unparalleled when you look at the fact that we have partners that can marry our depth and breadth when it comes to industries and processes. That in and of itself is a huge power that we yield in the market. And then, you know, you also have our push of innovation in Industry 4.0 in general when it comes to standards, creating communities. I think that all of that makes us very uniquely positioned to be a thought leader in this space and to really guide customers who are struggling with pilot purgatory or transformation lag, for lack of a better word. I think that we really do have a complete suite to offer the market.
Okay. And Pavneet, have you anything to add to that?
I think Vanessa got you know, most of the points. The only thing that I wanted to add there was that once these systems are in place at a client side, they're generating humongous amounts of data, and then we can put it to good use by using our advanced machine learning techniques in our business technology platform to sort of help with, let's say, visual inspections in manufacturing, predicting asset failure in assets. And many more use cases that we could build. So it's literally a one-stop shop.
Okay. And do you want to talk a little bit about as well about our partners and how they're helping?
Vanessa, do you want to take that?
Sure. Obviously, I'm biased because I'm part of the channel and I get to manage some really wonderful global partners. But I do think that at the end of the day, we would not be able to go to market as strongly as we can without our partners. Our partners have really have always kind of gone hand in hand with us. If you look at COVID and the supply chain planning offers that we put together and launched at no charge to support our customers, you know, when they needed to address immediate supply chain challenges. And we had a fantastic response. You know, companies of all sizes, whether they were large or small, 18 industries, they took advantage of our COVID offer. Hospitals, clinics, food and beverage companies, retailers, you know, medical supply, pharmaceuticals, they all had unique challenges. And SAP and their partners kind of got together and just rolled up their sleeves and developed a program called Amplify and went out to market with it. But in general, I would say that we work hand in hand with our partners. They're the ones who help lead the charge in change management with our customers. They're also the ones who understand the processes, especially when they've been at the customer site longer than us. You know, we work together with our partners to make technology beyond just an enabler. Pavneet?
Yeah, so I just wanted to add one thing. I think one aspect of partners that really excites me is their innovation potential and their industry expertise. Because a lot of innovative work that's happening in our ecosystem is done by these guys, right? They are talking to clients day in, day out, thinking of new use cases, and working with us in tandem to, you know, kind of enhance our products, fill our gaps with the industry cloud solutions. So I think they play a very important role in this part of the, you know, the equation as well.
That's a great point.
Superb. We're heading towards the end of the podcast now, folks. Is there any question I have not asked you that you kind of wish I had, or is there any aspect of the conversation that we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
None from me, Pavneet. Any?
No, Tom. I think we've had a good discussion on this topic. I really enjoyed it.
Any closing remarks?
Yeah, I would say that we've grown closer to our partners during COVID-19. And together, I think we have truly been able to help the world run better.
Okay. Vanessa, Pavneet, if people want to know more about yourselves or about Industry 4.0 or about any of the topics we've discussed on the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
I would say let's go to our website. We have a great story of our innovation where whether you're in the process industry or whether you're in the discrete industry, you can go in and experience Industry 4.0 for yourself and see how all of our solutions work together. Happy to share the link with you.
Superb. Thank you. And I'll include that in the show notes. And Pavneet, anything else you want to put in there?
No, Tom. I really appreciate the opportunity today and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. Thanks a million for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.